Welcome to the Awakening Conversations podcast, where we dive into the many aspects, challenges, and life-changing lessons that are part of our spiritual awakenings. Through conversations, we are looking to bring you wisdom and perspectives so that you feel more supported and connected as you navigate your own awakening path. We are your hosts, Kate McGee and Amanda Richardson-Meyer. We've both been through our own unique awakening journeys that have changed and transformed our lives. And through these awakening conversations, we will be growing and expanding alongside you. We're so glad to have you join us. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Awakening Conversations podcast. My name is Kate and I am here with my co-host Amanda. And today we want to talk about speaking our truth and using our voices and how the times that we are moving through are crucial in many ways for us to begin to do the work that is required to clear programming and undo the conditioning that is keeping us small, keeping us contained, keeping us afraid, and keeping us from sharing with others the insights, wisdom, knowledge that we have that could be potential catalysts for powerful change in the world. We're going to be sharing some clips from a conversation with Emilio Ortiz and Lee Harris. Emilio is interviewing Lee on his current book, and we also will have some clips where Lee is channeling the Z's and bringing through some further insights for us around this particular topic so we can expand it and understand why this is something for us to be considering in part of our own healing journeys and why we might be feeling called more and more to begin to speak up. And also the fears that truly come with it, because it is not easy. We carry around a lot of baggage, a lot of history, a lot of programming around what it really means to speak up, be truthful, be authentic. So Amanda, excited to begin to unpack this topic for you with you today. We've had a little chat prior to hitting record, and I think there's a lot of places we could go with this conversation, and timely because it's actually something you too are feeling in your life right now.
Yeah. Actually, as I told you earlier, I had this thought come in response to something someone posted that I wanted to say. And I almost immediately stopped myself, reminding myself that I can't say that because it's too triggering. It's too controversial. It's too out there. And it felt very true to me, but I realized that I immediately suppressed what I was going to say. And what followed was a bit of, I don't know, anger, frustration. It felt like an injustice that needed to be said, but I didn't feel able to say it and I didn't feel safe to say it. And it took me down this path, as I was sharing with you today, where I had this big, long conversation with ChatGPT about my relationship with speaking my truth and the phenomenon that a lot of us are existing within and that we're not even aware of. And it's around self-censorship and how there are mechanisms built into many societies that keep us only speaking about a very narrow window of acceptable topics. And there are many reasons that keep us contained, pressures within the tribe, right? Being accepted and not ostracized. There are very real financial and economical repercussions to saying things and safety issues, right? There's almost a trained mob that comes after people that say things that are not considered acceptable by, I'm going to say, the mainstream. And so whether you realize it or not, you might be censoring yourself without even realizing this. And I had an interesting experience back in 2020. This was, I don't know, a few months into the pandemic. And I felt this very strong call to read 1984 by George Orwell. And it was this book that it taught me about self-censorship, essentially, and how we don't even realize we're doing it. And it's a mechanism that keeps the status quo. There are very real repercussions that guide us without even realizing that they guide us. And that set the stage for me to really examine I started examining my speech back then, but I still, maybe I spoke out a little bit more, but I realized today in this conversation how much of my thoughts I suppress unconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think we're going to talk about today and listen to today are maybe why some of us are feeling the call to speak more. Maybe why I felt some pressure today around, and some frustration where I'm like, I don't want to have to stay quiet, but there's also real, like there's this fear that we need to address that keeps us from speaking. And in that conversation that I had today with ChatGPT, it showed me, it's like, in my mind, it's either or. I either like just am, I come all out and I say it all, or I stuff it all in. And how can I start to do it in a safer way that feels safer mm-hmm. for me? Cause the only mm-hmm. way that I can start, I mean, obviously this podcast has been a vehicle for me to start using my voice in a way that I haven't been and expressing myself more. So I've already begun to some degree. However, clearly there's something else that is moving me to speak more. So
yeah,
that's what's come up for me.
Yeah, no, I love it. And just before we jump into any of the clips, like Manda is my ChatGPT guru who supplies me with all cool kinds of cool things to do or ask ChatGPT. And it's been a really incredible growth process for both of us as we've explored this, but she supplied me with a prompt earlier this week that someone had shared with her that was asking ChatGPT to act in a very formal capacity as a high-level business coach with a high intellect and really looking at the way that we approach our businesses and, you know, giving us a pretty firm word about whether or not, you know, we were living up to the standards we wanted to be living up to in summary. But I used this prompt and it told me that I'm, you know, only operating at 50%, and it really poked right at my fears of actually putting into action things that I want to put into action, which would involve me speaking my truth, sharing my insights, wisdom, learning, knowledge, and revealed to me how my preference for, you know, slower pace and, you know, more clarity is really just me in fear of using my voice, fear of rejection, fear of what people will think, fear that it won't land, all of those things. And it's actually got really under my skin to realize, you know, I had this very physical reaction to it telling me, look, you've got all the wisdom, just post the post. Here's three options. Here's what you can do within a couple of weeks. Pick a date, pick a price. Which one are you going to do? Tell me now. And I had this very physical, overwhelming sensation of like, I can't do that. I can't. And I felt it in my chest and my throat. And it was an interesting experience to really see how much fear we do hold. And for me, it was like, wow, my little, I'm just going to find more clarity. It's definitely doesn't have any fear in that space. And my desire to be in the comfort of waiting or finding the right time or, you know, preparation to share this thing, what all it is a disguise of fear around what it would mean for me to really step out in a light, in a way that feels completely uncomfortable to my ego, to my mind, to speak truth and, you know, share in a way that could help people speak more truth. And, you know, what happens when more and more of us do that, living more and more authentically? You know, that's the battle that we're kind of in the middle of right now, of that light and dark, those two forces of us wanting to shine, but the pushback of the programming and all that's falling apart. So anything else you'd like to add there before we dive into listening to Lee and Emilio?
Yeah, well, I'll just add that it's like, it is an opportunity for us to start to look at these fears, right? That are with us. They've been with us for a long time. They've been running the show. And so we don't necessarily always see them unless they are poked. Something is kind of stirring things up and stirring the pot. And so probably there will probably likely have more opportunities to look at these fears because of what's happening on a greater level, which will likely might be touched on in this video. So I can go ahead and start that.
Dive in. Okay.
Recently you were on a Europe tour and you came down with a virus, a laryngitis, and you had to go silent for a while and really receive maybe the upgrades that were happening in your voice. And I know the Z's, your guides, have been talking a lot about the importance of speaking into our truth. So I'm curious to know, and this is something that's also happening with me. It's almost like my vocal cords are being like shifted or upgraded or something's happening. And I wanted to hear your perspective on how that's related to the truth that we're speaking into the world right now.
What I was told on a personal level, but before we speak about what it means globally, even when I was really struggling, you know, and I had a few human thoughts of, uh-oh, have I damaged my vocal cords? And I did go to see an ENT, and they put the camera, you know, they put the thing down your nose so they can look at it with a camera. And he said I was fine, which was what the Z's told me. I, as a human, was like, uh-oh, have I damaged myself? And that's not good because of the future and because of my work. The Z said, you're having a throat upgrade. And then they literally showed me a visual. I don't get visuals all the time. I'm more word-based with my intuition, but I do get visuals. And they literally showed me this lotus flower that was just opening and blooming. And so, you know, the Z's are usually right, even when I and my human ego are like, you sure? Hang on, you know. It was amazing how many people have told me, oh my God, I'm going through the same thing, even you, you know? So that has been fascinating to me. It's like, oh, there is some worldwide throat chakra upgrade going on. And I feel like voices have become emboldened. And I know that sometimes people will look at the shadow side of that and they'll see where hate speech has become emboldened or anger has become emboldened. And yeah, that there is a truth to that. You only have to look around the world to see some of the low vibration anger and division, basically. People who want to get behind division, which to most of us is insane, but for them it's their truth and it's the path they're following and it's the way they're playing the game and it's the role they've elected to play. But what equally is happening is because of that and in tandem with that, more and more people are speaking up for what they do believe in and want to stand for. And I think suppression of aspects of our voice, they can be very emotional and mental. Like we can, as a human, go, yeah, I really need to say this thing to my dad, but I can tell I'm scared because I've never really spoken to him in a truthful way. And he's never really loved it when I've tried. So I'm now having to push through my fear and my thoughts and my, oh, you can't say that. I can feel it all coming up in me because I've become aware of my emotions and my thoughts and my energy field. And it might take me 4 more weeks to pluck up the courage. So that's the physical and emotional side of our voice. But then there's a just purely energetic side. There is the pure energetics. And I'll tell you what really hit me. So when they put the camera down my nose, I was struck. It looks like a flower as well. And I was like, oh, they showed me the lotus flower. But also, it's delicate. So if you also look at our neck, it's quite a thin part of our body. And yet it's this massive vehicle for us. The Z's have always said we're such a word-driven society and words create so much in our life. Not just the words we use, but the energy we imbue them with. We put our energy and we put our attention and we put our focus through this part of the voice. So it's interesting. It's this, I see it as a strengthening in a delicate area for many of us. And I think delicate is a good way of looking at it because so many of us are scared to say the thing because we are very aware that what we say and how we say it massively affects all of our relationships, affects our communication. It's a delicate area that I think many of us, until we learned to approach it this way, either through self-growth or spirituality or therapy or however you arrived at it, the way we communicate with each other is enormous and it's huge and it's really important. And going forward, how can we continue to speak our truth? And I guess for me personally, but I think this is true for many, how can we do it with as much grace and compassion as possible? Like, how can you powerfully use your words and your voice in communication, but in a way that has the layers of compassion holding space for everybody, and grace. Because when you do that, not only do you get good results usually, you also model a way of being to others. And I think what the Z's have said is we as a people have to find our voice. And you sometimes find your voice through being a leader with words, and you sometimes find your voice through putting action behind what you know you want to stand for and standing for something different in the world. And this coming 5 years, they have predicted in some ways a people revolution around that, that will show up in multiple ways on the planet.
Well, a lot was said there. What came up for you?
What came up for me was the word avoidance, and it's uncomfortable to acknowledge the avoidance that I think is present in my life around using my voice and my words. I can remember back when I had my own awakening and I worked with this spiritual counselor. The thing that he kept saying to me was, "You're not telling the truth. You're not telling the truth. You're not telling the truth." And I can remember, like, dude, I am telling the truth, but I wasn't. I was telling a story about what I decided was happening to me, or, you know, to justify my position, and kept me in victim. And, you know, it was a really powerful thing that he said to me, to the point that, you know, obviously the line of conversation and continuing to have that asked of me got me to a very raw and honest place that was part of the awakening moment and start of something much bigger. But I took that question home with me and can remember hearing it in my mind again and again when people would ask me something just in general conversation, and I would hear myself kind of like, you know, play up my actual position or say something that just wasn't even true. Like, I was like, well, why in God's name do I do that? So I started to try and really be more honest. But avoidance, coming back to that word, like, I think I just tap out of like saying anything at all because I just don't want the confrontation. I know that I'm someone who likes to feel comfortable and happy and keep the peace. But that comes at a cost of avoiding saying things, doing things. And when I think about that, like, that's holding me back. Now, I think the important thing, as Lee said there, is there's a level of discernment when it comes to choosing to face that avoidance by choosing to say something, to speak up, to share. That I think is also something that was really crucial for me that came through the experience of my own awakening and all the things that kind of happened before that, was that when we are beginning to have those kinds of conversations with people, where is it coming from? Is it coming from our wounding? Is it coming from our stories? Is it coming from our ego? Is it coming from our fear? Or is it coming from a considered, centered, grounded, loving, compassionate, I want to open a discussion here for furthering where we're going or finding a solution, rather than is it an attack and, you know, standing in a position of righteousness, or you're I'm right, you're wrong. So, you know, there's a level of awareness when it comes to, you know, and a practice. Again, even as I say that, I'm like, there's a perfectionist in me who's like, I want to get it right. So I want to, you know, share it from this loving place. And we're going to have to learn how to do that. We're going to stumble through, and sometimes we'll get emotional and we'll lean into our wounding. But for us to really make the most of speaking our truth, I think it's really important that we do spend the time of like, well, how do I want to share this? What am I wanting to see happen from me sharing this? How is this going to move us forward? How is this going to change the situation in a way that everybody gets to have something valuable from it, not just a sort of refortification of our own position of like, you know, why we think things should be a certain way? So I think, you know, it's a practice to learn, and something, you know, in and of itself in this moment for me to realize that I don't need to be afraid to have you know, let's say difficult conversations, to maybe share more of the things I want to be sharing. If I myself can come to that same positioning that I just shared there of like, well, where is this coming from? What do I want to do with this? How is what I'm actually using my voice for being a force for good and positive change. And so it's almost like a responsibility. Like, you know, our words do have power. And I see that when I have used my words from a loving place and not in a directive place, you know, in relationships, in friendships, where I can just offer something and I leave it there on the table for like, okay, that's just, you know, I love something I want to put into the space. And when someone stops and considers it in a way and, you know, can digest it and open something for them, then that's powerful. I'm not standing here saying you're wrong, you should do it like this, because that's going to shut someone down. But offering our insights and perspectives can be like light in darkness. And I always feel like, you know, for some of us, myself included, when someone can share with us something that gets this little bit of light in our darkness, I always imagine it as, you know, like a crack in our skulls, into our minds, that light never goes away. It's up to us what we do with it. But once we've heard a truth and experienced a truth and felt a truth, we can't unfeel it. We can't unexperience it. But it can be powerful for us to start to see and do things in different ways.
Yeah. I resonate with the honesty portion, being truthful. That came up in my conversation today because it came up that, or I realized that I have 59 as my core wound, and 59, Gene Key 59, is about dishonesty as the shadow and transparency as the city, intimacy as the gift. And I've pointed out how I'm not being transparent by keeping my voice suppressed, and I'm sacrificing my truth for Well, a couple of things. He mentioned division, right? There's a lot of division. There's a lot of unconscious communication that's happening right now. And even if we are coming at communication from a conscious place, there's a good chance that unconscious communication is going to come back at us. And so there needs to be a level of acceptance with not taking that personally and not internalizing that. Like not allowing that to stop us. And I think unconsciously that might be a reason why a lot of people don't speak out, is mm-hmm. they don't want to be the brunt. They don't want to receive that mm-hmm. Unconscious communication that mm-hmm. so many are operating under right now. But what Lee mentioned is how we're here to model grace and compassion. Mm-hmm. And so even if we receive that divisive energy, we can model what it means not to participate in that. We mm-hmm. can choose something different. And that's really, it's like, there's a practice of that, and engaging and also choosing who, like having a boundary and choosing like, I'm not going to engage with you because this is not a productive conversation. I think mm-hmm. there are a lot of people that are yearning for conversation, but there is so much unconscious communication happening at the moment mm-hmm. that a lot of people fear, as we're just talking about. And so mm-hmm. I think if we start talking, we can be an invitation for others to do the mm-hmm. same, mm-hmm. To help people see that there are others that see things the same way or similarly, or it sparks something in them. I mean, and this could be what's going on in the world. And this doesn't even have to be what's going on in the world. It can be our personal experiences, mm-hmm. our personal truths. But I think the phenomenon is the same, is like, there's this underlying fear that's stopping mm-hmm. us from sharing what mm-hmm. we feel called to share. Mm-hmm. And I really like that he used the word delicate, because it does feel very delicate and very vulnerable mm-hmm. to express. And we are so easily shut down by criticism or judgment mm-hmm. or a negative mm-hmm. response. Mm-hmm. And I know for myself, like I can think back to times where my voice was shut down, mm-hmm. and it can happen like in an instant. Mm-hmm. And I think if we've had those experiences as a child, that imprint is very strong, and that is also preventing us from speaking, is because yeah. that is remembered on a cellular level, on an energetic level. And we don't want to, it's painful. It's very painful. Mm-hmm. And so that keeps us quiet.
Yeah. I resonate with that a lot. I, Don't know why, but my memory went back to when I used to work at McDonald's.
I worked at McDonald's.
Yeah, it was my first job. Back when it was a good place to work. I don't know if I'd want to work there these days. It doesn't look as fun or as clean. But anyway, sidetrack. I'm pretty sure it was there when we were being trained that they were talking about, like, you know, customer service potentially, and when people complain, how we can take that on. I don't know why. I don't know if they're connected and that's really where I learned this, but for whatever reason, Maccas came up. But, you know, it's such a, like, we take it so personally, you know, and out of 100 people that had a great experience and one person doesn't, how we take that on and it dismiss all of the good, you know. So that is why it's so challenging for us to be vulnerable to exactly that, such a beautiful word, delicate. It is delicate to share the truth that's in your heart, to reveal that to the world that can at times feel so harsh. You know, every now and then, even for us in the podcast, on YouTube, we get comments and it's like they're so slight and they're so not important. But I take it so like a stab. It's like a stab. Whereas the things that people say that are awesome, you're like, oh, that's lovely. And you just kind of like push it aside. So, you know, it's a very real experience that we have of like when someone comes at us in that way, like how deeply it can hurt us. The other thing I wanted to say to that was that it's a practice in and of itself as well, is to remember that we all have our wounding. And until we are conscious of that wounding, we act through it. And so, you know, we do project that onto people. I know I am guilty of this myself, of like, you know, putting that on people, saying things about people because of my own, you know, insecurities. And it's once we become conscious of that, we realize that we do that, but then we're also then receivers of that. So it's, that's the compassion piece, is when we can learn to be the recipient of what might feel like an attack or a criticism, or someone trying to shut down what we've said, is understanding that that person who's sharing that with us is also coming from theirs. And it does take work, but it is possible to feel and hold that just lovingly and compassionately and be like, okay, you know, we see the world through lenses. So that is kind of how we can have an energetic emotional boundary around what might be that unconscious stuff coming towards us, especially when we're holding that space of love and compassion and grace, and we do share our truth and our wisdom, because it is important for us to share, especially when it's able to offer hope and insight for someone else to lift out of what might feel like a dark place for themselves.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I know for me, my journey has been about recognizing what's me and what's not me, and recognizing that the comments that come that might be negative, it's not really about me. It's about the person.
Yeah.
And that took me a long time to realize, being an empathic person, you know, and doing my human design recently and seeing how many open centers I have that I can so easily just take, or I have so easily just taken, been influenced by my outside environment, and but recognizing that and like, oh, that's them. And I can choose to allow it to stop me, or, and sometimes it's, you know, there's something in there for us to receive and to reflect upon, but not in the like reflexive way, unconscious way that has shut us down in the past. Right. Like, how can we hold that? No, discern when it's constructive, and discern when it's should just be ignored as that's that person, and thank you, and I don't allow it into my orbit,
or to influence then how I feel about me sharing my truth. And yeah, as you said, like, some of it will be a trigger, and that's information as well. And, you know, where do I hold maybe something that's coming at me in myself that I still need to address? And then, as you said, is it just something that I need to just compassionately hold that person as they share in that way that is how they're experiencing what I'm sharing, you know? And it's, you know, it's sometimes it's easier said than done, but we have our good days and we have our bad days. But yeah, it's a practice.
It's definitely a practice. And it's, Shall I move on to the next clip I want to discuss?
Yes.
Good. A pleasure to be with you. And we have been privy to your conversation. And we would like to speak for a moment about the throat chakra. We will actually say the biggest opening that is happening for many of you who are having the throat upgrade or activation is the crown. So it is your crown chakra and your psychic highways, if you like, your ability to perceive and receive psychic information, higher wisdom, being connected to divine source information. That is actually the upgrade that you are experiencing. Your throats are having to acclimatize to the higher crown activations that many of you are now coming into alignment with. And the reason you are coming into alignment with this frequency is because this frequency is slowly lowering itself onto the earth. So if you were to want to see this visually, imagine a layer of what you are experiencing in your crown. Let's call it crown energy, slowly getting closer to the heads of humanity, because in many ways, it is you that are rising. It is not just that consciousness and frequencies on earth that relate to your hearts, your wisdom, your higher minds, and your ability to hold and create oneness on the earth are rising. It is also that from a cosmic level and a cosmic perspective, frequencies are now allowed to permeate the earth at lower levels than they previously could. In many ways, the embargo on frequency that has been in place for a long time is now over. And since especially 2017, but there were earth events in 1993, 1997, 2007, and 2014, where these energies amplified in their ability to merge with earth. And so in this year of 2025, we will argue that many of you have been on this crown chakra and throat chakra update, particularly since 2023. So this is not new, even though it may seem like it's newly happening in your bodies now. Many of you have been working on this for the past 18 months. And in fact, you may have gone through many challenges around expressing your truth or receiving higher wisdom in order to get to this place where your energy field and your physical body are beginning to allow this new level of consciousness, higher connection, and we will call it frequency wisdom into the body.
So 18 months, that's right around when we decided to start a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's funny how things line up like that. And really, yeah, it does feel like it's been this training ground, this opportunity. Like this has kind of been a playground for us to start letting the things out of our heads that mm-hmm. maybe we didn't have an outlet to speak mm-hmm. before mm-hmm. because we're talking about things that you just don't go up to someone on the street and start talking about, and that people in our families and our lives may or may not be open to. And so it's like, it's been this, this like training ground for us to begin. Like we've found a safe place to begin expressing. That was actually something that ChatGPT recommended. It was like creating spaces where you feel safe to begin expressing before you start like putting yourself out there on social media and speaking. You have to start doing it in containers where you know you're supported and you are not going to receive backlash to start. You know, it's kind of like it's delicate and it's like a child, like our voices are in a way, if we suppress them, they have to like be called out. They have like, you know, come on out. Like you can, it's safe to play. It's safe to flow again. Right. Because the flow has been stopped for many of us in terms of what we learned.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to start like opening the valve and letting things come through, and things are not going to sound, not going to come out how we want them to right away. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, and it's going to feel a little bit rusty, a little bit clunky. As the wheels start turning, as you know, I still say a lot, but I say it a lot less than when I first started. So it's interesting that we are going through these expansions and these growth periods, and it's not, we go through leaps at sometimes, but sometimes it's more gradual, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, mm-hmm. we did something that we were called, like we felt a nudge and we did it,
yeah.
not really knowing where we were going. And now today I had that, that conversation, ChatGPT, and then now we're talking about this and yeah. On, yeah. about this video. So yeah, the energy is there for it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I absolutely love that, actually thinking about how it has been probably about 18 months. Cause even this morning I was looking to see when did we post our first one, and we're coming up to almost 12 months. So that would be definitely probably about 18 months ago. And I can remember the distinct call was, I want to start using my voice and I want to be having conversations, you know, speaking things that are sitting inside of me, like bottling up, wanting to come out. And yeah, 100%. We've said this before, those first, you know, beginning series of our podcast, like it felt liberating and exciting and also really hard. Like we had to work these voices and these vocal cords and these get certain words out of my mouth. It was so hard to spit out because there was so much emotion and fear attached to certain words. Like I thought even for me to say soul was really challenging, and yet it's something I deeply believe in as part of my life and, you know, what I would teach to a client one-to-one, but say it on a podcast and have people listen. And, you know, like there's so much that we get over, but it's that practice and the doing and the commitment and the showing up. It's just, I see it as that clearing of cobwebs. And as you said, like it's clunky at the start, but you find your flow. And I think what's beautiful too is you get out of your head and you come into that place of wisdom. You're able to access that place within you that allows you to speak from compassion with grace, because you're not in your mental space. You're not in your ego. You're not in that mind and, you know, place where fear lives. You're embodied and you're speaking. That's where your truth is going to come from. So it is a practice. And just once you get going, it can be very liberating. And, you know, I did have a moment last year, I think it was the end of last year, where we had a couple of episodes where I felt like, you know, I personally, using my voice, felt like I was standing on my own edges freely and really enjoying the ability to express myself. So, you know, it's a beautiful path to start to follow. And I was, you know, as I was listening to that too, you know, a lot of what he said there is, you know, there's a lot of energetic shift happening. Frequency is rising, consciousness is rising. That affects us physically, but energetically, as energetic beings, we are changing. So we're going to naturally start to feel these different things, like, you know, throat issues, other issues, as energy does get moved and cleared. And part of our healing journey is always just to meet what arises when it arises. That's the time for you to begin to look at, okay, what is coming up for me? What do I need to know here? What can I do to help support myself through this? And don't be afraid of those things, because some of them might feel strange. Some of them might feel like illness when it's an energetic kind of shift and change. As you said, it's clinically diagnosed as laryngitis, but it's, you know, there's energy moving in the throat centers. And I think for me, and this past 24 months and past 2 years is really understanding myself as an energetic being that, you know, isn't separate from my physical being. My upbringing and my schooling never ever taught me about that. So it's been a door I had to open to understand myself from that level. Yet as I have and gone on to experience energy, working with it myself, sensing it, feeling it, being able to use it to read records and channel and things like that, I don't doubt it for a second, but it does still in my mind sound cray cray when you say you're having an energetic throat upgrade, your throat chakra is opening when you've got, you know, potentially getting coming down with something happening physically in your body, but they're one and the same. Your body is an energetic vessel. So, you know, here you can see just an example of me still having fears that rattle around. And speaking the truth that feels real for me.
Well, I like what he said about, like, we're meeting the frequency of the crown chakra. And so, like, for me, it's felt like this insight just dropped in and it felt so true. And it's like, I want to say it, but there's this block there that's like, it's like, come in. And it's like, oh, it can't come out. It can't come out.
Interesting.
And so therefore something does need to shift within the voice. Like something does. And sometimes when we lose something, we start to reflect on how we're not utilizing that gift that we have, right? The ability to speak is a gift, but so many of us don't use it. And if you think about it, we are so limited by restricting our voices. Like so many opportunities are missed in our lifetime because if we are afraid of using our voices. And I was just speaking to someone last night. She's done theater like all her life. She's one of my daughter's theater teachers. And we were just talking about how good it is for these kids to be able to get up in front of people and speak and like step into a character and express and do it in front of other people and not feel afraid and be celebrated for it. Like it's such a great opportunity for them. And then tonight I just went to this musical showcase that some teens performed in. And there's like eight teens and it was this little piano bar and it was filled with mostly, there's friends in there of the teens and then adults. And the woman who was leading, like was the MC, she was just like getting the crowd so amped. And it's like, how amazing is it for a young teen to have the experience of using their voice, like they're singing, and to be cheered for and to be celebrated and to, you know, cultivate that gift, like they practice. And like my daughter, her voice has improved so much since she first started musical theater. And it's like, I think we have this idea that where we are is stagnant. Like we're either, we have a good voice or we don't have a good voice. We're a good speaker or we're not a good speaker versus it being the spectrum that we can cultivate. Yeah. We can do things to help us improve our ability to speak clearly and express ourselves. We can, we can improve our singing voice. Like singing is actually a very great way to activate our throat chakras. And I know for a long time, I would never sing in front of people. And that got shut down when I was young. And it was actually in ceremony with ayahuasca. In ceremony with ayahuasca, they sing these songs, these icaros, they're channeled songs. And I started, like on the second night, I started singing along with them. It was like the inhibition that had stopped me from allowing other people to hear me sing was released in that ceremony. And I haven't gotten up on stage and sung by myself, but I've sung in the Christmas caroling and like I'll sing around my family. And, and I just realized how like the act of singing, has freed my voice in a way that I didn't realize how it was impacting me. And that process of in that time with ayahuasca, that really made me aware of the time when I was young, when that got shut down and how that actually was, I think looking back now, it's been a part of this process. Like probably if that didn't happen, I probably wouldn't be doing this podcast, right? Like it's been this progression over time, of me starting to use my voice more. And so it's like, wherever we are, like maybe we believe that we can't speak in front of people or we can't share our truths. You know, we just have to start. We have to start somehow. And in today's conversation, it was like I said, do it in safe spaces. It was like also do it within a journal, start writing. Like that is a mechanism to start allowing your ideas and thoughts and perspectives to begin to flow rather than I see it as just like swirling around stuck inside of our heads and our bodies. And it's like, we can't have a clear mind if we can't let things move through us.
Yeah. And second to that, when we're holding all of that in there too, it's blocking any of our intuitive insight because there's so much noise and there's so much emotion and there's so much, you know, going on that we can't access something else, which is desperately what we're wanting in that moment, right? So finding a way to release and move that energy out. And I think I second that journaling is such a powerful practice, and one that for me, when I was allowing myself to just let everything that was in my head, in my mind, in my heart, just be what I would express, eventually too, if I kept writing long enough, that would clear and I would get the insight and I could soothe myself through, like, I'd come to a conclusion. So it can be such a healing practice. Something else that I made me think of too, when I was, you know, kind of in my own healing journey post awakening, was I had had an experience while in Kundalini yoga classes while in Bali, where at the end, I think they used to play, you know, different mantras and chanting at the end, and the music was really loud. So you could use your voice, and it kind of, because it was loud, you weren't so worried about other people hearing you. It was such an incredible experience to just follow along in these sounds. One, the vibration of the sound when you did, like, let yourself go in your own body, just to, like, move energy through your voice. Like, I know personally, I went through a period last year where I just wanted to actually scream, but I was so self-conscious of making a loud noise, even outside where there's just trees and no one's going to really come out of the house, surely. I just wanted to make noise, but I couldn't bring myself to, like, be noisy. You know, it's it was so frustrating to even have that fear. It's like so layered and so deep. But one thing that I did do post-awakening when I came back to Japan was I saved, and, you know, some of those songs, like their mantras, there's such beautiful sounds. I can't think of the one lady who's just got this incredible voice, but we can link to it. And I would play it in the car, especially when I was emotional, and I would just sing along because you're repeating it and just let myself sing. And it's vibrational experience. You know, it's touching all parts of our energetic body. It's moving energy through us. I found it really healing to just sing in that way, making these beautiful sounds, saying these mantras. And, you know, often I would cry at the same time while driving the car and singing at the top of my voice mantras. But really, really beautiful, really, really healing, really, really clearing, and allowing our voice to have sound. So, you know, another way we can start to kind of clear energy there.
Yeah. And I think a lot of us hold this lie that we have to be a good singer in order to sing.
Yeah.
It's right? Like, yeah, it's, there are so many different, I think there's a lot of tools that we can, like, practices that we can use. But yeah, we learned somewhere that that if you only sing if you're a good singer, and you only become a good singer by singing.
Yes.
And so, I mean, some are naturally gifted, right?
Of course.
But a lot are, have cultivated it. And so examining that story that many of us inherit somewhere, that only those that sing well should do so.
Yeah, because, like, again, that's just a limitation placed on us that we put ourselves in and keep ourselves in, because we say, oh, I'm like this. But as you said before, even with, you know, with Sita, her continuous practice in, you know, her musicals and things that she's doing, like, she's evolving, she's growing. It's like anything we do, we are not good at it at the start, and the more we do it, we improve, and then we get really good at it. And to what degree, it doesn't really matter, but it's the practice that helps us to improve anything and change who we are in any, it's like learning how to cook, whatever. It's the same thing, you know, like, don't limit yourself by saying, I am this. You know, that sentence will hold you there, but that's not true. Like, it's just in this particular instance, in this moment, until it is different, until you choose different, do different.
Yeah. And how can you put yourself in experiences that help you? You know, I'm thinking about singing right now, but it's like, you can join a choir, right? Like, you don't have to be a soloist to join a choir, right? Like, you get a church, or maybe there's a non-church related choir. This is something you can be around people that are also using their, like, being around people that are using their voices. Yeah. It helps you use your voice too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Because they're modeling how to do it. Like Lee mentioned, like, we're here to model for each other. And, like, for the environment that I've found myself in, it's like, I'm around people that are creating a space where you can speak. And, you know, we have this space here where you can speak. And so it's like the more spaces that we have that support us speaking, then I think when there's something bigger to be said, like something that's, you know, we are making a difference, whether it's some big boat rocking statement or if we're just getting up on a stage and we're expressing that way, like we're modeling it for someone else that might be. And so we're making however we're expressing, however we're using our voice, wherever stage we're at in that process, we are shifting the energy. We're playing a part in this energy shift that we're going through of opening our voices. And in this long conversation that they had today, it's like, it really, it's this control mechanism that has been in existence for a very long time, right? In this conversation that we got into, as I told you, but I'll speak here as well. It's like, I realized like this energy that we feel, it's like a crucifixion energy that, you know, same as that Jesus experienced for speaking what he spoke. That's what many of us feel in fear will be the risk if we express what we fear, what we think might not be acceptable by the outside world. It's this very old energy, very ancestral, ingrained. And so we're working against a lot that's keeping us contained. But like Lee was saying, the energy right now is such that is supporting us to clear that. And so whatever we can do, all these things that we've talked about are helpful in removing those layers of restriction that have been holding us back in that regard.
Yeah. Well, let's watch one last clip with Lee channeling disease, because I think this is a really nice way to wrap up what we've been talking about, as he'll dive into a message from them about community and our missions from a time period from since 2023 to 2032. And just what we can expect to experience a little bit around this authentic expression, speaking our truth.
You said that the timeline between when the Future Humans book was recorded, 2023, to around 2032 is a very crucial one in terms of people's ability to influence the future. What do you mean by that?
So the truth is that you as the people have the power, and we know you're tired of hearing this. We know that you hear this and you think it's a little bit like a bumper sticker platitude, and it is not. You as the people have the power. We cannot stress that enough, and in fact, we need to stress that regularly. So you as the people have the power, even though you currently are in a system that disempowers you as people. We understand that. Now, we will also argue that you are all alive. And so your system is not all bad. And in fact, we have often cautioned people who want the system to fall down overnight. We say, well, there would be nothing holding you in place. So it's actually a positive that things are being dismantled and exposed and rebuilt slowly. For it is important that as many of you remain on the planet and go forward into the next phase as possible. The reason we say this is a crucial and pivotal time is because there will be two different things going on in this time period. And of course, there will be a multitude of different things, but we're going to focus you on two extremes because it will help to highlight what we mean. There will be an extraordinary rise in community-led initiatives, power, and also community collaboration. And more of you will be coming together than ever before around your missions. And that is vital because there is strength in numbers and there is strength in multiplication. There will also be on personal levels more what you might call downloads or visionary energy than ever before. You will be able to see and perceive future happenings, future gifts, future things you are supposed to create in your own life, future things you are supposed to create for the world. On that level, it will feel like quite a magical, enlivened and enlivening time for many of you. Even those of you who've been visionaries for a long time, it will almost feel like you are on speed dial now and all of these things are coming through. And more than just visions appearing to you, you will be able to actualize things faster than before. Things you will be able to build, community collaboration you will be able to generate. So in that sense, this next 7 to 9 years from the 2023 date is going to be a very important time for creation and manifestation. And those energies will be on high. The other extreme is this. You will see more attempts to block, lock down, censor, and also, shall we say, limit human potential. Now, there will be moments where that fight temporarily wins, as you saw in 2020. There will be moments where, for short periods of time, there will be a tension point between people and what is attempted toward and against and over people. However, what we can tell you is this. The more those events happen, the more the people will rise. And the more the people rise above those constrictions and those attempted, shall we say, corruptions to the future human and the future of Earth, and an Earth that includes humanity. For, of course, there is a different timeline for Earth where humanity is no longer here. And what you as a people are trying to do is to learn how to work more in harmony with Earth and to be allowed to continue on this planet and to, in many ways, be a custodian of the regeneration and repair of this planet, which is not the agenda of those who are in charge right now. So that is the battle. The two extremes of those things will be rising together. They will actually be rising because of each other. So it is not to get too depressed when you see those things happening, nor to feel that the oppression will last that long, but it is absolutely vital that when you see such oppression or corruption, you call it out. Whether it's just telling your friend what you're seeing and spreading the information that way, or whether you are one who is elected to be an outspoken, shall we say, activist and put your head above the parapet on behalf of others, which is often a karmic path, by the way. And the reason we share this with you is because many of you look at those, shall we say, brave activist figures who put their head above the parapet and you despair because you say, oh, I'm not built that way, or I'm too scared, or I can't do that. You can do a lot. You don't have to be the one that stands in the town square on a box. You need to tell the people you know in the town what you're noticing, because community power spreads through community. It is not all one person's job to do it. So find the area that you are comfortable, find the area that feels true for you, and by all means create what you're creating. But when those oppressions come in, and you notice them, and you have something to say about them, or something that you see about them that someone near you doesn't seem to be seeing, the gift you can give and the way you can fight the oppression in those moments is to share what you are seeing with this other person who seems oblivious. Because the more of you that see this, the more its power gets exposed.
So,
yes.
What came up for you there?
I just love that last little bit, because I think, you know, it's potent for all of us. And I think it really leans into where we're feeling that authentic call, our unique and individual places to be the light, to share our truth, whether that is you're feeling a call, as you said, to stand on the soapbox out in the middle of the street and, you know, to draw a large crowd and that feels comfortable and right for you, or if it's simply to be the voice and speak in your literal family or to your close friends, to be the one who's holding, you know, a light to the future, light to the potential, you know, a pathway to something different. We don't have to compare ourselves to other people. We don't have to be doing it in a certain way. We just need to lean into what am I feeling called to do? And that's powerful, and it's in and of itself, because we're really leaning again into more of that authentic expression. It's all also part of this bigger evolution and ascension that we're going through. And I think when we really lean into it in that way uniquely, we can hold it and do it more compassionately and with that grace that he talked about to start with. You know, we're not trying to be anyone else and, you know, leave our bodies. I always see as when we're trying to be like others, you know, we're embodied, we're connected to our truth by being our unique and authentic selves, leading uniquely. And as he said, there's these two things happening, people gathering together in community around these visions and visionary energies to create new. And at the same time, you know, a force that's rising because of this, wanting to limit human potential. It's just the battle of light and dark. And I think the way that he described that gives me a lot of peace. And I think that literal sentence in and of itself, it's rising because of each other. It's not that we're having to fight some battle that's trying to take us over. It's just like a weed and a flower growing together, right? Like they're both organic matter, but one is what we perceive to be a weed and one was something that we want to keep. And so, you know, it's naturally a part of the dance of life and of nature, but it is also then why, you know, practicing using our voices now through whatever means, tools we're being called to use is going to be a vital thing for us, is that when it comes time for you potentially to have that, you know, moment where you know there's something you need to say, you've cleared some of that cobweb, you know, you can find the courage and the strength and the right place for you to begin to share what it is that you may need to share.
Yeah. And I think by us sharing, by speaking, people naturally look at those that speak as leaders, whether we recognize that as or not, like those that express, those who are able to speak what feels true to them, people look to them. And if you are doing that when we're not in a time when, you know, if you're doing that on an ongoing basis, when the time comes where people are afraid and they're looking to those that they look towards, you could be someone that they choose to listen to, and you can have a big impact. And because it works in both ways. If you've been practicing speaking and sharing your truth, then you're ready when the time comes. It's almost like training in a way for the time. We talked about like speak out about the oppressions and the control mechanisms that are trying to clamp down on us to prevent us from growth and ascension and liberation. If we haven't been speaking, we're not going to be able to do it when the time comes. Right. So in a way it's preparing ourselves for, I see it as like breaking beyond going where we need to go. We need to be able to speak up when the time comes for the forces that want to keep us down, that are trying to stop us. And so using it now is, you know, it's, do it in a safe ways and in what feels safe to you. And then also you talked about community, and that's been actually a big part for me too. It's like, I don't know, a couple months ago, I went to this gathering. It was about this, my friend's new theater company, and I was going there for support. And there was a handful of us that just got into this like really fascinating conversations that I don't typically have just in like polite conversation. And I was like, wow, this is neat. Like to be able to be in a space with multiple people, like bringing their own views to the table, and, but all adding something to it. I'm like, the meeting of the minds, right? The meeting of like, and people feeling able to speak about things, like they're doing their own growth and cultivation on their own, and then coming together and like having this really interesting and fruitful conversation. I'm like, oh, I need more of that, because that was like affirming to me in like, oh, I've felt alone for a long time and like how I've seen things, or I can't like share these parts about me. But it's through those spaces where, I mean, I can think of like, you know, I watched the musical Hamilton for the first time not that long ago, and I kind of got really into it. But thinking about like these men who like all thinkers, all have all these opinions, and they came together to create a nation. Like that's kind of a big undertaking, right? But it's like, that's what's possible with our minds and our voices, and like, what is, words create energy. And something that Lee said, and we are creating our world through our words, our voices. And that's why language is something that is policed and controlled, because it is a creation mechanism. And so, there are forces that try to limit what we say and how we say it and whether we believe that they are doing that or not. I believe they are.
Yeah. Yeah. And they. I think, you know, yeah, they. what I'll say too, though, but like our words are powerful, you know, vibrationally, it's how we speak to ourselves, how we speak about the world. Like we create our reality with the words that leave our mouth. I also think that it is important to remember that they're just sounds too, you know, like I wrote looking through my phone the other day and I've had some revelation. I'm like, precious metal. We have decided that a rock that came out of the ground, that's gold and shiny, is a precious metal and it has this extortionate value. It's a rock out of the ground. Precious metal, two words that give that an intense amount of value and then a perception that it costs a lot of money. It's a rock out of the ground. Words create power, you know, words create. So I don't know where I wanted to go with that particularly other than just, you know, we give meaning to the words. And again, I think what I think that's powerful for is when someone might be coming at us and we start to speak our truth and it is a criticism or it is a, you know, a quote unquote attack to us. Remember, we're choosing to allow that to be attack because we're saying that word that's in that sentence or the way that that sentence is put together with those words equals you're no good or whatever, right? Like question all of that. Notice that such a mental thing that we do to ourselves. It's words. It's literally, if you want to break it down even further, they're little like black dots on a screen. It's not even real. It's not happening. It's just some way that we're looking at the world saying it means this.
Yeah. We give it meaning, right? Mm-hmm. Similar, like this is related to what started this conversation that I had today. It was the idea that we believe, at least in the United States, we believe that we have freedom of speech. Mm. And my argument is that no, we actually don't have freedom of speech because we censor ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so what is the meaning of freedom of speech if we're actually not speaking, right? It's just, those are just platitudes. Those are just words. And so if we're not actually doing it and not really aware of that, we are keeping things contained because we have this need, this fear, this desire to suppress our voices because it came from somewhere. So beginning to speak about that, beginning to become aware of the of our relationship to our voice and how important it is to begin using it if we're keeping it contained. So
yeah.
Good conversation.
Yeah, I agree. And I really hope that for those of you listening that this has inspired you just begin to pay attention to yourself in a new way because it can be kind of tricky. You know, I would say I just am a peaceful person, but no, I avoid conflict and, you know, avoidance. That's big part of my makeup and like, okay, that's containing me and limiting it. And I just want to say one more thing. There was something that you said, you know, when we don't speak up, I know there's so many opportunities I've missed because I've had this insight to reach out to someone and do something and I'm too afraid of what they'll say or being rejected. So therefore I don't. The number of opportunities that I know that I have missed and because of the fear around someone saying no or rejection, like it's like, again, let's let go of all of that, like begin to act on these impulses. There's incredible things that can happen from it. It's all about the growth. It's all about the learning. When you do that, you know, you're shifting, you're changing. We're starting to be those examples in the world for others to be able to do that too. So hopefully today's conversation inspires you to begin to think about your truth and your voice in a new way. We'd love to hear your thoughts and comments. Please do leave those wherever you are listening. Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you.
Thank you everyone for listening. We'll join you in the next episode. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. If you haven't already, please do subscribe to your favorite podcast platform or to our YouTube channel so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. Be sure to head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, for the resources mentioned in this episode. Here you can also leave your questions, comments, or feedback so we can create more episodes that you love. And if you'd like to be a guest to share your own awakening journey with our listeners, or you have a business or offering that supports others going through their awakenings, head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, click on Be a Guest and we'll be in touch. Until next time, take care.